The message the Lord's laid on my heart this morning, in part, began being birthed while I was in Guatemala because we ministered to so many people that you could just sense the rejection and shame and the weightiness of life bearing down on them. Now, don't misunderstand me, that there's such exuberant joy there in their services, but in the midst, they're hurting people. And there are people here this morning, under the sound of my voice right now, that you're hurting. And truth be told, if all testimonies were known in this room, there are people sitting here this morning, you have been visited upon by evil itself. And you endured. And you survived. You may have scars, but here you are worshiping Jesus. Some of you have suffered extreme betrayal. Some of you have seen a marriage end and have tried to find your bearing. Maybe some of you are there now, and others of you were able to have a new start and God's breathing upon you, and here you are worshiping Him. You see, He is the antidote for all wrongs in our life. He is the healing for all hurts we endure in our life. He is. Jesus Christ is Lord, and He is our antidote. I want to talk to you this morning about rejected, because we all need to learn to discern the absence of love. At its root, rejection is our inability to give and receive love properly because of hurt. And so I'm going to be talking about that. And as always, I want to root what I'm going to be sharing today. I want it to rest on the Scriptures. So let me share a few Scriptures with you. If you'll just look up here in Psalm 22, this is a prophetic, messianic psalm. David is praising the Lord and writing out the thoughts of his mind and the emotions of his heart. But in the midst of that as well, the Holy Spirit begins to breathe upon him to write in such a way that his writing, though speaking of himself, now transcends his own life and looks into the future. I'm sorry, I'll try to get this in the right place. He looks into the future, and he's prophesying of Jesus who would come. And he says, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, 'He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him.'" And of course, when we step over into the New Testament, this is what happens at the foot of the cross. As Jesus was being crucified, he was despised. He was rejected of men. Isaiah speaks of this same thing we pick up in Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Can you imagine that? He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He continues on, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one, we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." This is the prophetic look into the future of how Jesus himself would be rejected. John opens his gospel, and when we get to verse 10, he says he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. His own people rejected him. God sent his son to redeem the world, and yet the world snubs their noses, spits on him, nails him to a cross, and rejects him outright. in Matthew 27, verse 46, Matthew reporting Jesus' sayings from the cross, he gives us this one, and I don't think there's ever been a theologian that has lived that could adequately explain what's happening in this verse. We have a measure, but the fullness of it, who can really understand that? God came, robed himself in human flesh, and then took our sins upon him. You see, Jesus was perfect, holy. He never violated the commandments. He never disobeyed the Father. He was pristine, pure. He was tempted just like we are, but he never failed. And yet on the cross, though he had never committed sin, he bore our sins. All the sins that have been committed from the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned until the last person that goes and leaves this world. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree to provide healing for us. And he cried from the cross, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Or another translation, "Why have you rejected me?" Who can fathom that moment? In that moment, Jesus experienced something he had never experienced. Separation from the Father. Because our sins separate us from God. And when our sins were placed on him, it created separation. He was not guilty. He was innocent. But he became guilty by our guilt and suffered our punishment, endured our hell, carried our sins. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every sinful, stinking one of us. He bore our sin. Why? Why? That we might be given his righteousness. Summary statement. He was rejected that we might be accepted. His rejection becomes the foundation of our acceptance. For we have redemption, even the forgiveness of our sins, through his blood. Through his sacrificial, redemptive, sin-bearing, love-filled act on the cross. The gateway of acceptance spelled out in Hebrews chapter 4. Because of that, now we can come with confidence into the throne room of grace to receive grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. Before that, where were we? We could not approach God because he was too holy. And wrath and judgment rested upon us. But at the moment of faith, embracing Christ, then the benefits of what he accomplished on the cross is imputed to our account. And we are liberated from the bondage of sin. But yet, believers still can get in the grip of rejection and not fully benefit because they don't fully comprehend what his redemption means for us. Let's look at a couple of other scriptures and then I want to share some things. Romans 8:31, after Paul has spelled out how God works all things together for good and we're being conformed into the image of Jesus, and he's already justified and glorified us as a redemptive act, accomplished a fact that will be realized as Jesus consummates the age in its fullness. He gets down to verse 31 and says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And I love verse 32. I love verse 32 because it's an invitation for us to believe. He said, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He has forever settled the question of whether or not you are loved. He freely offers us freedom. Listen, this scripture tells us that he freely offers us freedom from whatever may be binding us this morning. Whatever it is, pornography, adultery, fornication, a myriad of addictions, lust, envy, hatred, bitterness, gall, grudge bearing, on and on the list goes. This invites us to freedom, to a freedom from each of those and all of those. Will he not? Yes, he will, implied answer. Because he's already given his son. What greater thing could he give? Everything else that he would give us is a lesser thing. Nothing they could ever offer us now would cost him as much as what he's already given us. What he's already done for us. Do you understand this? We do maybe to a measure? That's a deep well. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with how many spiritual blessings? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's your true position. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, it wasn't a last minute decision God made to save you. He put it in motion from the foundation of the world that all those who would believe in his Son would be part of the elect and would receive the benefits of Christ's redemption on the cross. He says he chose us from the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us, notice that, by which he made us accepted in the blood. This scripture tells us that we are now in God's family and we are now accepted by God. Rejection sends the message, I'm not accepted. I'm not loved. I'm worthless. But these scriptures tell a different tale. Not a tale, tell the truth. And then 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That word perfect means complete. Hadn't quite gotten to the place where we understand God's love and what it means. We love him because he first loved us. His love for us is why we love him. If you're here today and you deal with rejection, it is a form of fear. It's a fear of being rejected. And when we're bound by that, it's because we have not been liberated by love. So let's talk about that a little bit. First of all, everyone experiences rejection. All of us. All of us. Jesus Christ was perfect, and we've already seen from the Word of God, he was rejected. He was rejected, and he did everything right. He was rejected, and he never did anything wrong. He was rejected for sharing the truth. He was rejected for loving the unlovable. He was rejected for hanging out with sinners and loving on them. He was rejected for telling the truth. He was rejected for healing the sick. He was rejected for causing the dead to rise and the lame to walk and the blind to see. I mean, he's just blessing people right and left and getting rejected right and left. If it happened to him, it happens to us. And sometimes we're rejected because we throw the pitch and the devil uses his bat, right? But sometimes we're rejected because somebody's got the bat and they just use it on us. So everybody experiences rejected. But interestingly, a lot of people are able to overcome, grow through it, be stronger because of it. But then there are some people that rejection has lingering and lasting effects and impact upon their life. And they can come under the influence and the power of rejection. And as a result, sometimes a doorway to the demonic can be open, and a spirit can be begin to agree and work and form a stronghold in a person's life around this rejection. And it's amazing how prevalent this is. Probably most of us in the room have had some struggles with rejection because of different things we go through in life and so forth. So what are some of the reasons for rejection? Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, of all the different reasons of why we might be rejected. But let me just say with this short list: abuse, divorce, shaming, bullying, angry outbursts, cursing sessions, personal failures of 1,000 different brands. It can be a parent, a sibling, a spouse, a friend, your best friend, a teacher, a coach, even a stranger. All these things can work to cause us to feel rejection. And some of these can work through us to cause other people to have to deal with being rejected. And it's important for us to understand that. When I was in the fourth grade, we had two fourth grade classes in the small elementary school I attended. And in the other fourth grade class, there was this cute little girl, and I decided she was my girlfriend. Now, I never had a conversation with her. I don't even know if she really knew who I was, but I just decided that's my girlfriend. Well, there was another fourth grade boy who was one of my buddies, and he was in that other class. I didn't know it, but he had decided she was his girlfriend, and she didn't know that either. And somehow or another, he found out that I thought she was my girlfriend, and I found out that that he thought she was his girlfriend. Now, she didn't know any of this. So, you know, a little gossip vine going back and forth. And then a few days later, after this grand discovery we had made, we were lined up in the hallway because so many of us were allowed to go into the boys' restroom at a time. The others stood in the hall, then moved up as the line moved up. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about. Well, I had gone in, and now I'm coming out, and I'm going down the hall, and there's my buddy over there that I found out liked my girlfriend, and he had found out I liked his girlfriend. And so the closer I got to him, I could see his face looking at me. Then he stepped out, and the next thing I knew, I was right in the middle of a fist fight. He is a swinging, and I was a swinging. And we were going at it, two little fourth-grade boys. It only lasted a minute. The teacher separated us. We were swinging away. It was so fast, it was, you know, it was just over. And carried straight into the principal's office, and then another kind of swinging started taking place. That principal was, just in a few minutes after I had all those gut punches, he was swinging that paddle. So in his office, there was these two fourth grade little boys with hot heads that left with hot tails as well. And not long after that, he and I were good buddies again, but neither one of us wanted her for our girlfriend. Every time we thought about it, it was painful. You see, we went through all of this, and she didn't even have a clue. And sometimes when a person has rejection in their life, that they haven't been healed from it, and they don't know how accepted they are before the Father and get their worth from that, sometimes there can be a kerfuffle created and conflict created and all this stuff's going on. And you may be in the middle of it and they're feeling hurt and everything, and you don't have a clue. This can happen in a marriage. This can happen in family. This can happen in the workplace. This can happen in church. Because we hold people responsible for things they don't even know they've done. And you're doing that because of something that someone else done had brought against you in the past. Isn't it amazing how past experience can rule present circumstance if we aren't made whole? I've read that as high as 65 to 70% of second marriages end in divorce. And a lot of times that's because the things that were underlying the first one, there wasn't healing, and we just carried things forward. And I would just say to you, regardless of what your rejection may be rooted in, what encounter, experience, or painful thing, that God wants to liberate you from that this morning. Wants to help untether you from that past hurt and to heal you and bring freedom to you. So let's talk a few moments about what causes this. I mentioned some reasons, but just two basic causes. It's when we are unhealed from the pain of the past, or we're dealing with someone who's unhealed from the pain of the past. Another one is when we have unhealthy practices in our life that we haven't matured out of, or someone else has unhealthy practices in their life that they have not matured out of. Sometimes someone may not have enough self-awareness to know they're pushing your buttons and stepping on your last nerve, and they're happy and they think everything's great. They just don't have enough self-awareness to realize that they're hurting you. I know some of that may be involve social skill and graces and so forth, but we can all improve in the area of our self-awareness. And that's by asking the Lord to help us get delivered from ourselves. Not everything's about us. Not everything's about me. But when my self rises up, it wants it to be about me. And that's, we need God's help to be delivered from self. There's no course we can go through. No prayer that you can cast out self. You know, that comes from dying and being transformed by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And it's called discipleship. It's called faith in action. It's called pressing in and doing the hard work of change in our lives with the Holy Spirit's help and the truth from God's Word. It's a lifelong journey, by the way. No one's, when you graduate, you're not here. Until then, you're still in school. So it's important for us to understand these things. A lot of times we can cause rejection when we don't honor boundaries in other people's lives. Boundaries are good. God gave us boundaries. He put boundaries in Eden. It's all yours but this one tree. You've heard me preach on that many times. That's a boundary. The commandments, those are boundaries. God says you want what's best, you want to be blessed, and here's the borderline. Here's the boundaries. Live in here, and things will go better. Boundaries, they work in the back seat of your car if you've got two kids. You stay there, and don't cross the line. Otherwise, you'll have all the kind of stuff going on. So boundaries are good, and we have to learn to honor one another's boundaries. But if you have rejection, your desire to want to win someone's approval or perform or press in can cause you to just trample all over someone else's boundaries. And what you're doing, you're pushing them away. And that's where patience and long-suffering comes in, right? Sometimes change can happen like that, and sometimes it takes a while, and sometimes the change that we're wanting is the change that needs to happen in someone else. And that sometimes that can take a long, long while. And isn't it interesting that sometimes when the change we're wanting in someone else, all of a sudden that disappears when a change happens in us. Yeah, that kind of stuff's true too. Boundaries. A sign of rejection is when you feel worthless, discouraged, despondent, left out, overlooked, unrecognized. There seems to be no words or encouragements that anyone can speak to you that will set you free. It's just this deep-seated feeling that no matter what, I'm going to be rejected. It's really, fear is a negative form of faith. And you can move to a place where you have a high level of faith that you're going to be rejected. Even though the truth of God's Word calls for your Christian faith to say, I am accepted. Let me talk about, just share some words with you around the idea of rejection quickly. First of all, just sin. This is not honoring God's boundaries. Sin. Adam and Eve, sin entered the world when they violated the boundary that God had put in place. And God sent His Son Jesus to save us from sin. Jesus is the answer. Another thing, sin causes separation. You see all that through the Bible. Did you know that the Bible word for death really means separation? Physical death is when your spirit leaves your body, is separated from your body. Spiritual death is when you are dead in trespasses and sins. Your spirit separated from God, your Creator, who is spirit. The second death is eternal separation from God. So rejection brings separation in our life. It causes us to feel like everybody's distance. People don't like us. People don't accept us. And again, sometimes we may be doing things that may cause people to want to not be around us. But you can be in a room full of people that love you deeply and dearly and still feel separated from them. If there's rejection, there's nothing that's going to fill that place other than the love of God. Because you were created for love. You were created for relationship with Him. And God sent His Son to reconcile you to Him. To do away with that separation, the gap. To reunite you with God. A husband and wife can lay in the same bed just a few inches apart every night for years and yet be miles away from one another emotionally or at the heart level. That's so sad. And sometimes it's because of rejection. Oh, it may start with some other sin and then that causes resentment and bitterness. And then that resentment comes up and that sends a message of rejection to your spouse. And then he begins to resent that or she does. And then they reject you back and you're just playing badminton rejection, even though you're just a few inches apart and have a certificate that says that you're married and a vow standing before God that said for better or worse. I'm telling you, rejection is a poison and toxic thing that pollutes and defiles our lives. It's harmful for us. I have dealt with it and probably still do to a measure at times. I think all of us do. But God help us this morning. Another thing that happens is just hiddenness and loneliness. It's interesting. This past week I read a new survey out from George Barna Institute. concerning pastors. When you put the stats together, it tallies out that 65% of the pastors in the churches in the United States of America say that they feel very lonely and isolated. And I imagine if that's true for pastors who are studying the Word all the time, and, you know, it's probably about that same for everyone else. But it's sad. And we can understand that. There can be a lot of hurt sometimes in churches. But there can be a lot of hurt in school. There can be a lot of hurt where you work. There can be a lot of hurt at home. So nowhere is off limits for rejection to occur. When I pastored in Haleville, Alabama, there was a dear brother named Hugh Elkins. He's now with Jesus. And I love this man. He was one of the men that God really used to show me what a Spirit-filled, joy-filled life looked like. And I remember him telling a story to me one time. He said, Dr. Lawrence, one time I went on a trip to New Orleans, Louisiana on business. He was a businessman. He said, I'd been down there several days, and all of a sudden I just got so homesick. I got so lonely. I just decided, I cut the business meeting short. I packed up my stuff and I drove all the way back home. Got home, went in the kitchen, sat down, talked with my wife, and enjoyed that. But then I realized that was still there. I still felt just really lonely. So I spent some time with my kids, hung out with them, and enjoyed it. But that was still there, that deep, gnawing loneliness. I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, then I went in my bedroom, I closed the door, and I got down on my knees, and I just started pouring my heart out to the Lord, and it left. He said, I realized I got busy and distracted, and I was lonely for the Lord. Wasn't that He wasn't there and wasn't available. I just kind of pushed Him aside. And we can do that in our walk with the Lord. And all the stuff going on in our life can crowd Him out. And that becomes prime territory for rejection to let its roots start deepening in our lives. So hiddenness and loneliness, Adam and Eve went and hid. And then they started blaming each other. You've seen all that there in Genesis 3. That's rejection. Didn't measure up, failed, blew it. Shame, guilt, loneliness, isolation. Another thing is emptiness. Jesus came to fill us with God's Spirit. But rejection causes you to feel like you're running on empty all the time. Why? Your love tank's empty. You may be getting love from your spouse, your kids, your work, your friends, and that's great. But without the agape love of God, you will never have the level of freedom and fulfillment that you could have. Still resonating within my heart is the Wednesday night a few months back when we had some folks that went to the Asbury College Revival. One was one of our teenage young men, Aslam Gilchrist. And he stood right here, and he gave his testimony of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, lit him up. But he said something, and I've shared it several times since, different people, different places. He said, and given a radiant, powerful testimony of having been filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, I did not know how empty I was until I found out how full I could be. There's smoke on that. Revelation. Isn't that powerful? But it's so true. If you've never experienced this, then your standard's down here, and there's no way for you to fully understand what's not there. It's just a gnawing, lonely emptiness. And it's the same way with rejection. When that thing's taken out of there and the love of God is poured in there, wow! The difference it makes. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager or if you're in your 80s, 90s, 100s, whatever. God still will pour His love out on you this morning. I remember a lady who was in her 80s. This was back around the curve a bit. And she came to me. And she said, "Can I talk to you?" Pulled me aside. And that precious woman began to weep and pour out her heart. She said, "I was abused when I was a little girl." And she said, In my youth, I was a really pretty young lady. I won a lot of beauty contests. And I got my worth out of that. But I never got to the place where I was separated from that shame, feeling guilty. Isn't it amazing how the enemy can abuse you, then turn around, fill you with a deception, and make you feel like you're somehow responsible for it? I began to minister to her and say, "Listen, it's a lie of the enemy. There is no shame from that. You were exploited. But the enemy's used that to create a bondage and a stronghold in your life." And I talked to her about rejection. And I led her to renounce that. And I prayed for her to be filled with the love of God. And I saw that woman in her 80s come alive to Jesus in a way I had not seen happen in the years before that I had known her. In a moment when that lie was exposed and that root of rejection was yanked out of there and the love of God came streaming in, she was a new woman. We don't have to live with this. I've had some roots the Lord had to reach down deep and yank out of there that caused me to do some terrible things. And not blaming those things for what people do. We make our own choices. But the devil seduces, the devil tempts, the devil will lie to you. He'll get you believing all kind of lies about your own self. When the Word of God says that you have been cleansed from your sin by the blood of Jesus, you have been adopted into the family of God, you have been liberated from the bondage of Satan, you are now a child of the Most High God, you have direct access with God the Father, and you can have peace in your life, you can have joy in your life, you can be full of the love of God, you can live the life that you were created to live, all because of Jesus. Sometimes it does become demonic. All rejection is the playground of the demonic. But sometimes it's so deeply seated that we begin to be influenced by the demonic. And we have to be delivered from that. I want to go ahead and our worship team's going to come. I want to go ahead and just quickly finish this teaching this morning. Let me strongly encourage you to ask Father God this morning to transform your mind around this issue. Because when you have rejection, you have an expectation of being rejected. And that's misery. Everything's going good, but I know something bad's going to happen. Oh, I know, this seems so great right now, but I know it's not going to work out. That's rejection. Sometimes it might not work out, but you don't have to become the prophet of the devil and prophesy it. You don't have to get in agreement with the plan of darkness for your life. You need to keep your words and your thoughts in alignment with the Word of God, and attach your faith to that, I'm accepted in the beloved. Now, I may not fully understand if this is going to work out or not, but I know God's for me, not against me. I know that God's going to work everything together for good. I know there's times in life we're going to be rejected, but I'm not going to have the boot of rejection on my neck and become enslaved to it. Now, the truth is, life throws stuff at you, and you have to deal with what comes your way. You have to swing at what's pitched, right? But it all boils down to how are you going to respond to it? How are you going to go through it? How are you going to battle through it? Are you going to get into agreement with the same old that always ends up stealing from you? Or are you going to switch teams now and say, you know what? I'm going to learn to speak to that mountain. I'm going to learn to overcome this influence. I'm going to learn how to dismantle this stronghold. I'm going to learn how to use the Word of God and put the devil on the road. You see, you have to choose to do this. And I encourage you here this morning, maybe there's ongoing conflict in your marriage that really doesn't have much to do with your marriage. It has to do with something else. That doesn't mean you may not have problems in your marriage, but I'm saying sometimes the problem is not what we think the problem is. We're making somebody else paid for what somebody else ordered. And we need to be free from that. And we need God's discernment. This is a much bigger issue than can be very well covered in a message like this. But I am believing that I've said enough, shared enough word with you, that God's Spirit is wooing you to decide today is going to be a day when you're no longer going to be dictated to by some painful rejection that's happened to you in your past or that you're having to deal with right now. So would you stand? I want our prayer team members to come forward. These people will be here to pray with you, to love on you. I decree and declare that the Spirit of God is here this morning to shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. I decree and declare this morning that God's perfect love is here to overcome and cast out all the fear of rejection that may be tormenting you this morning. Let's bow our heads across the room. And I encourage, if this message is speaking to you, I want to leave you in a prayer right now. It begins by just recognizing this is an issue. If you would say, Father God, I recognize this morning I have been influenced by rejection. And it's created pain in my life. And creating pain in the lives of others, perhaps. By an act of my will, in other words, you're choosing it right now. By an act of my will, I renounce. Or let's say it this way. I reject rejection. I reject rejection. In the name of Jesus, I repent of every way I've allowed rejection to form my thoughts, to influence my responses, my behavior, and choices. I repent of it. I call it sin. And by faith, I appropriate the power of the blood of Jesus. I apply Jesus' blood to this area of my life right now by faith. And in Jesus' name, I break the power of rejection from my life right now. Just say that. I break the power of rejection in Jesus' name off my life. Now let me pray for you. Father God, I just am praying now in agreement in this room right now over every person who is renouncing rejection. We are agreeing together as a church family this morning that the blood of Jesus is breaking the power, and the Spirit of God is breaking the power of rejection off of lives right now. In Jesus' name, be loose from it. Rejection be gone. Every spirit of fear that would come as rejection, we renounce you, break your power, and command you to leave now in Jesus' name. You just say, I agree. I command it to go in Jesus' name. Now, be loosed in Jesus' name. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Now, I want to ask you to do one more thing. I want us to pray now that the Holy Spirit would just fill us with the love of the Father. Oh, God loves you so much. He looks at you as a believer and sees His Son and His righteousness. But He wants to free you from every way that rejection torments you, hurts you, and harms you. No matter how many years back it may have gone, some of you, things suffered at the hand of your parents or other relatives. I'm aware of some of the stories in the room. There's been some horrible things you've had to endure, some horrible things that you've had to go through, little boys, little girls should never have to go through. Not marriage is what people should never have to go through. But what Jesus did on the cross is so much greater than any of that. So we declare the power of His blood right now. And we declare freedom. Freedom. Now, Holy Spirit, come. Open your heart. Holy Spirit, come. Baptize people anew and afresh with the Father's love. May the spirit of rejection, may that orphan spirit, that shame, that worthlessness, that I don't measure up, may all that be gone now in Jesus' name. Be loose from it. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Receive God's love. I just encourage you, if the Spirit's really moving on you, come and let people lay hands on you up here this morning. Step out from where you are right now. Make your way forward. Let someone lay hands on you and pray for you. Father, I just pray there'd be an anointing through the laying on of hands, the stirring up, and the Spirit of God and the love of God. May it come like waves into this room, into open hearts right now. You just come. You come and receive. You come and receive. We may need some more people up here. Help and pray. Staff, leaders, would you come and just be here to help minister to people? Come. Thank you, Lord. There may be others you need to come. Just, this is your moment to receive. Rejection is being broken. It's being crushed. It's being dismantled. Its roots are being pulled up. God's pouring something new and fresh, a new measure for you this morning. You just come forward. You just come forward. We'll minister as long as we need to. I'm going to release you in just a moment, but we want to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is doing. Are there others? You just come right now. And listen, there may be some people. There may be some weeping, some vocal releases. And that's all right. You just receive what God's got for you. I saw the Lord do this in Guatemala this past week a number of times. People just became broken, weeping. We saw deliverances. We saw just a mighty wave of God's love and power. And I believe that's here this morning. You just receive it. You just receive it. You don't have to live the way you've lived. There is freedom. There is help. God loves you so much. Just believe that. Any others, you come right now. We're going to start worshiping. You just make your way forward. As people are here praying, you come.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior.
A new beginning.
Has ransomed me. like a flood. His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Are there others you come?
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
Some of our staff and leaders, we need some more people praying. Would you please come
like
and help?
Like a flood, His mercy reigns.
Some more of our altar workers, would you come?
Amazing grace.
Brother Braxton has a word.
Want to share with you a dream that I had last night. I thought it was just a silly little dream. I told Natalie about it on the way this morning. But it's a God thing. I dreamed I was in my truck, like I am 5 days a week, driving down the highway. And I was having to be in Indiana, and this Indiana trooper pulls in behind me, and he turns those funny little flashing things on. So I know it's time for me to find a place to pull over. So I pull over, and I don't normally pull a tanker, but in the dream I was pulling a tanker, and I did not know that I had leaking out the back. Turns out it was just water, but they don't like that. So he pulls me over, and don't do this. I got out before he did. Don't do that. But I got out, and sensing something was wrong in the back, went around back and realized, hey, you got a leak, and that's why he pulled you over. So I stay back there and try to fix things, and I'm wondering, you know, what's the holdup? And I look around the truck, and he's getting his hazmat suit on, okay? So I thought, okay, so I go back to work on the truck, and I'm like, he's not coming around here. So then I go back around the truck, and there are vehicles that have pulled up around his vehicle, and people standing around him, around this officer. And I'm like, what is going on? So I approached one of them, and I said, what's the deal? And they said, well, we found out that there's a threat against this officer's life, and we have come to protect him. And like I said, I thought it was just a silly little dream until I watched the baptism video. And we praise God for, it was 13 that were baptized. But what I saw because of that dream was that lobby full of people coming around them. And that's a pick, that's family, y'all. That's resource. And yes, we praise God for His power to touch our hearts and take away this rejection. But what you may not know is the resource that's available to you in this family. Use it, please. Yet there are professionals here, but most of us are just plain old folk that trust Jesus. There's professional help here. There's small group. There's people praying right now. And there's people that will pray for you any time of the day or night, coming around you to protect you from what the enemy has in store for you. Please use it. Don't leave here today the same as when you came.
Amen. That's a good word. That rejection will keep us from connecting. And I feel like there's some people here that I just need to say, you've got a church family around you that will love you, that will walk with you, that will help you. Father, thank you that you have brought us together for such a time as this. Thank you for your steadfast love that never fails. Thank you, Lord, for victory over fear and all its forms. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that you would take the truth we've heard today and help us to anchor ourselves in it. Your perfect love casts out all fear. We love because you first loved us. We are loved. We are loved. Say that with me. We are loved. I am loved. Say that with me. I am loved. That's the word of God. So in Jesus' name, go forth as the beloved of God. Go forth free of rejection. Go forth in the freedom that Jesus died to give you this morning. Live for Him. Let your light shine. Let His love flow from you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you for being here this morning. This altar remains open for any others that may need prayer. You just come on up. Thank you so much for being here today. God bless you.